Podtacular 295, Halo 4 Ordinance and E3 Community Reactions for June 9th, 2012.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Dust Storm.
I'm your host, Deathwing.
And this week we have a guest from the community again. His name is Jimmy Schmo.
Joe, welcome. How's it going, guys?
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello, sir.
Is he being quiet now?
Who, me?
You, yes.
Oh, well, yeah. It's good to be here, finally, after all these tries.
You're being awfully quiet.
Am I quiet again?
Well, you didn't say anything after I said welcome.
Okay.
Or I didn't hear you say anything. Anyways, I'm tired. I could just be missing things. Not good. Anyways, so today we're going to be talking about some of the Halo 4 Ordinance stuff since our last show. We were kind of tired. At least I'm kind of tired again. So hopefully this show goes better than the last show did. We're also going to read off some of the email submissions that we got from you guys, talking about some of the stuff that we saw during E3. And to start things off, let's do a little interview real quick. So, Jimmy Schmo, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you found Podtacular.
I found Podtacular. I just kind of stumbled upon it just randomly because I was just on my iPhone, just going through iTunes, and I saw, you know, a Halo podcast, and I was like, all right, well, I'll listen to that, see what it is, and I liked it a lot, so I listened to it all the time. Then I decided to submit some stuff, and when you guys actually read it off on here, that's really what I really started to like the show, because you guys actually read off all this stuff, and I was actually hearing my own comments on the show, so it was pretty cool. So I've been an avid listener ever since.
Very nice. And how long has that been for?
Probably only like maybe a year now.
A shree-year now?
Yeah, probably around a year now.
A shree-year? I'm not sure what a shree-year is.
I was trying to think.
Sounds like a shady year.
A shady year, yeah.
Is a shady year like a baker's dozen year where it's 13 months instead of 12 or something?
Yeah.
Sorry, no, I guess I took that a little overboard. Anyway.
You never know up here in Canada, right?
I guess. That fella Green Skull up there, he's a hoot. Anyways, so welcome to the show. Hopefully we don't drive you crazy too much, and hopefully the grammar and the submissions today don't drive you crazy as well.
There's a lot here,
but before we get to those emails, we're going to talk about some of the ordnance stuff that we have for Halo 4. That includes weapons, armor abilities, tactical support, all that kind of stuff. So we've seen most of the weapons that are going to be in the game. There's still a few that we haven't seen yet, like the sniper rifle, and we haven't seen the rocket launcher in detail. We've kind of seen it in passing, but some of the big ones that we saw were the light rifle and the scattershot, which both are new Promethean weapons. So both of those, I think all Promethean weapons basically have the power to incinerate whoever you kill. Which I think is pretty cool. I think the disintegration effect that they have in the game it looks pretty neat. What do you guys think?
No disintegrations. I want them alive. Yeah, I think it's a good effect.
Yes, Lord Vader.
It might get old kind of fast, but it is a cool effect, like the little flakes like floating away and stuff.
Well, I mean, you would have thought that the Grunt birthday party would have gotten old pretty fast, but people still use it all the time, and I don't know. It's not old in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of classy. It's upbeat.
It adds to the effect of like that they're new, because it is something so new and it looks so different.
One of the things that kind of went through my mind as I was watching it too is we saw the, I guess, more or less Forerunner tech with Guilty Spark and then the Sentinels.
Sentinel Beam, yeah.
Right. So those didn't particularly incinerate you, but
yeah,
this technology can't be that different.
Well, they're not called Forerunners; they're called Promethean. I mean, I think they're kind of
right,
two different classes. They're two different classes of the same general like group of species.
Well,
they're just two different branches, I think.
Right, but if you remember what Cortana said during the campaign demo, she said she recognized the design that was Forerunner.
Yeah. It just seemed like a different technology. With the orange.
It seemed like an evolved form of technology than the Sentinels and the Monitors had.
Well, the Prometheans were like the warrior class of Forerunners.
Right. But you would have thought that for the AIs defending these installations that contain the Flood, they would have been given some powerful stuff as well, right?
They have those bigger Sentinels, the Arbiter levels of Halo 2, the really big boss ones. Those were, fairly tough.
Right.
They weren't all little weaklings. And, you know, they didn't have that much either to, contend with. You know, those Sentinel beams that the Sentinels have, I mean, they could probably kill Marines pretty easily if they really tried. I mean, they weren't.
Or
probably,
if they were realistic.
Yeah, I mean, they're gonna burn their faces off. You know, it obviously doesn't kill Chief quite as easily for gameplay. You know, the sake of the gameplay, but
right, energy shields and all that stuff.
It is a beam of laser. I mean, he probably could kill most things that they would have to contend with on the Halos.
Burn, baby, burn.
Yeah. Well, they only have, level 2, what is it, level 2 Promethean armor, or, level...
No.
He only has level 2. What's that called?
Level 2 combat armor. Combat skin.
Yeah, combat, yeah.
Out of, what, 12 or 14?
Yeah, I think it's highest of 12, right?
Something like that. Right. But, I think the part... Because a lot of people brought this up, too, was during the campaign demo, when the Elite got incinerated, I think that's more just like a scripted event than you're actually going to be able to be incinerated while you still have shields.
Yeah.
So
I think I could see an achievement for killing that elite before he gets incinerated. I could see that. I mean, it seems kind of common for that kind of achievement. Like do something really fast before some scripted thing happens. I mean, right. I could still see it.
Right. Well, one thing, and I guess we should save this for the campaign show, but I'll mention this last one before we go back to our main topic here. But whenever the knights come down and jump the chief with those first-person combat scenes, I'm wondering if those are going to actually be quick-action sequences.
Well, press this button now to live or something? Oh, I could see that. You're probably sure. Why not?
I mean, it was the perfect setup for it.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's an in-place cutscene instead of zooming out, which, I mean, it's an improvement. I hated having to go through black screen and have the game basically pause and then pull up some kind of cutscene.
Yeah.
So if they can manage to master just going into the scripted cutscene without having to cut to anything, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
And I know some people have been not necessarily arguing, but fighting for the first person cutscene style in some cases.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a glimpse of it.
Well,
in Reach.
Kind of a new thing.
Right, but yeah, if you want to really
reach with
if you really want the person to feel like they're controlling the whole storyline, they're controlling the person. You want more first-person interactions in the cutscenes. There's going to be some storyline elements that you have to do a wide-angle third-person shot, which is completely fine, but there needs to be an element of you're actually playing the person, you're actually doing the interactions with the characters in the game.
Yeah, we got a glimpse of it in Reach with, in Tip of the Spear.
Right.
When Noble Six and George crash going through the spire shield, and then you see Noble Six getting up through his eyes, and George tells him to put his helmet on or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot more in Reach, which made it... Because some people actually liked the Reach campaign.
I liked it. I thought it was good.
I thought it was better than Halo 3.
I thought Halo 3 was pretty fun.
It was too easy.
Yeah, sure. Still fun, though.
Halo 3, in my opinion, had the easiest campaign of them all.
Yeah. Still fun, though, and well made.
Well, it seemed rushed. It seemed like they had to rush through the whole story.
I think you can credit Microsoft for that one a little bit.
Yeah,
I know. You can credit them for the lack of a Mongoose.
That still doesn't change how the actual game came out, though.
It's not entirely Bungie's fault or Bungie's laziness on that part.
I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying purely from a game standpoint, Halo 3 did not have the best campaign.
Oh, that's pretty fun.
I have faith in Bungie that if they had the time that they wanted to work on the game, they would have made a really, really good game that was miles above the Halo 3 that we have right now.
Yeah. Which the Halo 3 we have right now is still pretty monumental. It's not like old or anything, but you know, hopefully we can get some of that caliber that was never quite attained, you know, with this, you know, with Halo 4, with 343.
Yeah.
Because they are Microsoft, so they're on their own clock, interestingly enough.
But the nice thing about how 343 is organized is that you have a lot of people that are there primarily because it's Halo, and it's because they've either worked on Halo, they came over from Bungie, or they were in the community, and they came in loving Halo, and they're going to make Halo the way they know Halo players like to play the game.
Yeah.
So if there's any arguing point for trying to convince people that Halo is coming back, that's one reason. And you look at the presentation they did at E3, and if you even look at some of the MLG commentary that went on, there's a whole playlist of videos up there. There's a good number of them that says Halo's back.
Yeah. Well,
I think that speaks a lot of words to a lot of people.
Yeah, well, some people. In my opinion and many other people's, Halo never left. I don't see Reach as a failure. Many of the people do not at all. I don't think Halo ever left. It just changed its tone a little bit.
Yeah, Reach wasn't necessarily a failure. It was just really different and not what people were used to.
Yeah.
From a Halo franchise. And I think with Halo 4, they're kind of returning to the roots of how Halo 3 was, and I think a lot more people are on board with Halo 4.
Yeah.
And plus, you're going back to Master Chief.
Yeah, but those aren't all like necessarily the most hardcore fans. Those are the ones that, like, let's be honest, are kind of easily swayed by certain things, and, you know, whichever series has the most flair at the moment.
Well, then you have these guys that say that they were into Halo from, like, day one, and then Reach came out, and they were, like, disgusted.
No, it wasn't that bad. I don't see, like, the hate about it. Armorlock, sure, and Bloom maybe a little bit, but other than that, I mean, maps, yeah.
I mean, I still play Halo Reach. I still think it's fun. Although, I think from a multiplayer standpoint, in the maps, I think the maps in Halo 3 were better than the ones in Reach, because let's face it, you're playing campaign just on a multiplayer level.
Yeah. So, yeah, the map. I mean, I thought the DLC was pretty good for Reach, to be honest.
DLC was nice.
Yeah, they were fun maps there.
It doesn't seem like the Noble map pack gets played that often.
No, it does. I play Tempest sometimes, like in squad DLC playlist.
I go in, and a lot of people do not vote for Tempest, which is weird.
It's kind of hit or miss. You know, sometimes I play Tempest. Sometimes I play Anger 9 actually pretty frequently. Actually, what's the other one? Breakpoint. Breakpoint is actually pretty popular, I've noticed, and rightfully so. I mean, they are good maps, I must say. And what was the other one? Defiant. Defiant was a good stuff too. Highlands.
Yeah, Defiant had Highlands and the other space one.
Highlands is a little
condemned.
Plain, like, yeah, Condemned. Highlands is a little plain. It's kind of like, reminds me of Standoff. Like it's pretty symmetrical, but it's in the sense that it's plain. It's kind of just reliable. Like it's like there's some comfort there. You know, like it's
kind of like a Blood Gulch-ish.
Yeah, this is just simple, two bases. Like let's just go at it kind of thing.
Right.
And then Condemned. I thought Condemned was pretty well done. It looks fantastic graphically.
Yeah.
Is that the one like that zero G chamber in the middle?
It's not
zero G. It's low G.
Low G, yeah.
Oh, okay. Low G, yeah.
It is a good map.
If it was zero G, you'd be hitting the ceiling every time you went in there.
Or just floating in random directions, perhaps. But
that would be interesting to see what happens.
Kind of annoying. Only if there was a way to get back out of it, like push yourself off of a ledge or something.
No. Go back to the old Halo 1 style ladders.
Right.
That would be hilarious.
And then, I think one thing that hurt the Defiant pack was only having two multiplayer maps. As good of a firefight map as Unearth was, and it was a pretty good firefight map. It's just they should have had three multiplayer maps and then like added Unearth as a bonus. I think that would have been a better idea, in hindsight.
Probably.
Yeah.
But you look at Call of Duty, they did the zombie, they did a map pack I think it was for World at War, where they had like 4 multiplayer maps and then 1 zombies map or something like that.
Yeah. Well, those are popular. But I think they even did that stuff for Black Ops 2, though, where all the map packs would be mostly multiplayer, but then one new zombies one. And that's what, like, a large portion of the fan base was really getting it for, was for the one zombies map that they were going to play, like, over and over and get to the highest round they could and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I think zombies are arguably a lot more popular than Firefight, even though
Firefight's I would have liked to see the Flood in Firefight.
Yeah.
That would have been interesting.
Have a different class.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, kind of have a new class in Spartan Ops.
Yeah. I would have liked to see the Flood in the Reach engine in general. Just see them graphically in Reach. That would have been cool. They would have looked grosser and slimy.
They probably would have had, yeah, they probably would have had more detail put into it.
Yeah. Yeah, that would have been a treat, but
well, you got to see them in CE though.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. But even though it's not quite the same, I mean, do you guys think Reach's graphics are a little sharper than the updated CE ones? Like maybe just a little bit, or CE better looking to you? They're kind of two different styles. You know what I mean? Like Reach's looks crisper than CE's updated ones.
I don't know. I haven't really looked into that aspect of it that much.
That's a tough question.
That is a tough question.
I think Reach looks a little crisper than the updated CE.
I honestly don't know.
I would agree with you, yeah, that the Reach does look a little bit sharper.
Yeah, just because it's more... I mean, it is newer. You know, you can update an engine, an older engine, as much as possible, but yeah, it can only look so good.
CEA is a completely new graphics engine.
Yeah. It looks a little different in style from Reach somehow. They look different.
They do look different, but I'm trying to from a standpoint of detail, it's kind of like back and forth. Because there's some detailed aspects of Halo CEA, like the faces, I think are better in CEA than they are in Reach. But then the weapon detail, yeah.
I thought in updated CEA, Captain Keys had a really large, like, bottom lip. It looked weird. You can look that up. In the opening cutscene, when he's in the Pillar of Autumn, like, command room, his bottom lip looked like he's this very large. He looks like Bubba Gump from, like, Forrest Gump. Like, it's really odd looking. You can go look that up, listeners.
I thought Keys looked a little weird.
Yeah, and it's just like they got that old infrastructure to work with. I mean, it's not like their fault necessarily, but
right.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'd have to when I go back and do my playthroughs, I'll have to look at it.
Yeah,
because that's I have to look back into that. So let's talk about some ordnance.
Well, I was going
to
say one more thing stuff. While we're on this massive tangent with many, many branches.
All right.
So like what can we make? Can we compile a list of things that we never got because of Microsoft's rushing? Let's see.
Halo 2.
Yeah, Halo 2 Mongoose.
Halo 2 Theater.
Halo 2 Theater. Guardian Forest in Halo 3. The level, right?
Right.
Boats. Anyone? Huh? Was that a Bungie thing? Not getting boats. They never like figured it out, right? Or was it Microsoft?
Was there ever a need?
Well, it's not really that much. Not water. A need,
but they said they were like planning it, trying it at one point, right?
I thought they were trying it in Halo 1.
Maybe I'm not too sure. I just know there were some boats like somewhere down the line.
Yeah, I vaguely remember something. There's a video somewhere talking about it. I just don't remember where it is.
Yeah. It's not necessary. I mean, is anything necessary? Like, it just wouldn't
There is kind of the discussion about boats. It's just, for Halo, you really don't need it. And
If they made a really watery level.
Well, at that point, you just fly over it, right?
Well, or you could, you could use boats.
I mean, even in the fiction and like in the books, we never see boats, do we?
No.
So,
but I wouldn't doubt that. Like in the lore, I wouldn't doubt the Covenant and UNSC having boats, like for like you know like operations on planets with a lot of water. Like, I wouldn't doubt that, you know?
Hmm.
Just for, like, for, you know, just in case.
I honestly don't know how boats would fit in the Halo. Halo.
Well, just like boats and, right, military boats in real life, right, turrets on.
But, I mean, that's, I mean, we're talking about today real life versus Space Marine.
Yeah, but that, but Halo is based off of, like, our real life, our real world, just very advanced. It's not like a completely separate, you know, concept.
Yeah, but when it doesn't really cost that much to just fly over water.
But what if a water operation was somehow necessary? Or what if flying, like, anti-artillery, anyone? Missiles? Lock-on? Well, not always possible
to fly over stuff. What's that have to do with water?
I'm just saying, it's not always possible to fly over stuff. Sometimes boats, you know, might be necessary, depending on the operation.
That's when you fly low.
No, it's, flying at all is not an option. Like, imagine that.
Give me a scenario in which that would be the case.
There's some, you know, anti-air artillery.
Fly low.
There's a what if it still gets hit?
If you're flying that low and it still gets hit, then you're gonna get hit with a boat. Same way.
Submarines.
Well, just drop ODSTs and then just take out the anti-air.
I guess.
I mean, that's what they're there for. You take stuff out from over.
I just think having boats in the arsenal, like, it wouldn't hurt. Like, it would only help when needed, that's all.
Sort of a boat game Halo would be. It doesn't really seem to fit the playstyle.
Technically, if you want, you know, you could use the in Halo 3, like, you could forge a pallet. You could make a pallet, throw it on the water, you could stand on the pallet.
So you're just going to make a raft instead?
Yeah, no, I actually, on my Halo 3 file share, I have a screenshot of me standing on a pallet in the water on Last Resort by the beach. I'm on a pallet that's floating in the water, and there's, like, a little radio on it next to me, like, it's a little raft. it looks fantastic.
Where's your volleyball? Where's Wilson?
Unfortunately, there's no volleyballs in the forging, you know, in the forging.
There's a golf
inventory.
Ball.
That's not on Last Resort, is it? I don't think so.
Golf ball's not on Last Resort, but there is a golf ball.
Now, a 343, if you would like to delve into the Halo 3 network of content creation and
it's patch, still there.
And patch a volleyball onto the Last Resort Forge inventory, I would be more than happy to go do a reshot of that scene. I you have my word on that.
That'd be pretty awesome. Get the little painting on there as well.
Yeah, with the blood, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, back on track.
Good stuff, huh?
Yeah, good stuff. I mean, boat would be kind of ordnance stuff anyways. So, we were kind of close.
Sure, why not?
Sure.
Yeah, that'd be intense. An ordnance in a boat in the middle of the map.
What's that boat? It's a resupply boat. I could be it. So the sticky detonator. This is the thing that we saw in the teaser trailer back, what was it, E3 last year?
Yeah, when everyone thought it was a silenced pistol at the end.
Well, everyone thought it was like a grenade pistol.
Yeah. Well, right? Everyone thought he clapped the silencer on it at the end, that thing he put on it.
Oh.
Everyone but you can watch him shoot it off.
He had, like, no cod piece, and it's like, whoa.
I don't know why people got so frustrated over that.
It is weird looking, that's why.
I didn't notice it.
Well, the thing is, I didn't notice it either at first glance. You only notice it when people tell you about it. That's the issue.
You should have just shut up. People would have been happy with it.
Yeah.
Well, it's back. All you haters, it's back. Anyways.
That's good.
So the sticky detonator is basically like the grenade launcher from Reach.
Good. I like the grenade launcher quite a bit. It's a fantastic weapon.
Although the functionality is actually a little bit different. And instead of pulling and holding the trigger, apparently you pull it twice. So there's a certain delay before the grenade gets armed.
And that's interesting.
Yeah.
So they're trying to, like, dumb it down?
Maybe take longer? Because I'm guessing it has like maybe a quarter second fuse or something. Yeah. And then it becomes active. So I'm not exactly sure. I mean, the press and hold thing just makes more sense. Because if you want to shoot it out real quick and then let it pop, then that makes sense.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe they've play tested it to where they figured out that that's actually more efficient.
Yeah.
It does stick to things, though. It'll stick to anything metallic, so walls, other players, which is nice. I'm wondering, since it's technically magnetic, how magnetic it is. So if you shoot close enough to someone, if it'll actually like turn and lock on, or if it's like it has to come in contact and then the magnet's strong enough to just stick to whatever it hits.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's so magnetic that if you don't type in 4, 8, 15, 16, 23, 42 into it every 108 minutes, then it's going to overcharge and cause a plane to crash. That's how magnetic it is.
Are those your lottery numbers or something?
No, it's a Lost reference.
Okay.
Fans of Lost who listen to the show will totally they will eat that up.
All right, I have no idea. I don't watch Lost.
It's a
Lost.
Wonderful show. You should watch it.
I've heard it's not very good. After
are you insane?
I've heard a lot of people say it's not that good.
Those are people.
It's not on anymore.
Those are casual TV watchers who were channel surfing one day in like 2007 and happened upon it when it was like in the middle of its third season and didn't watch from the beginning and didn't appreciate it and didn't understand it, and so they automatically label it as crap just because they don't know what's going on because they tuned into an episode of the third season. Those are the kind of people you're probably listening to.
Some of them said they started watching from the beginning.
That's just weird then. That show was fantastic.
I've heard a lot of negative comments about Lost.
Okay. Well, but then you are under the what's that psychological term called?
Impression.
Psychological concept that like you think something just because of a bunch of people like with the same manner of
influence.
Thinking. No. You just continue. I'll think about it later.
All right. So the sticky detonator will, I think, so that's confusing, because it should still detonate even if you don't...
Well, yeah, it sounds like an upgraded grenade launcher, but go on.
But, I mean, if you just shoot it and you want it to just detonate it wherever it lands, you still have to pull the trigger again.
Can you shoot it and it stick to something and then you switch guns and then detonate it later?
I'm assuming not. But if you have to pull the trigger twice, that would make sense. But then you would get into the situation where if you pull it out again and you don't remember that you have one out, you pull the trigger and it doesn't shoot and you think your gun's broken. So that doesn't make any sense.
Unless it has a timer on it where it automatically goes off after a certain while if you don't pull it.
Maybe. And then there's the little radar thing that pops up on it as well.
That's nifty.
Yeah. Which, you already have your radar on your Spartan anyway, so what's the point?
Why not more gadgets, huh? Why not more flashy things? Let's just make it a light show.
I mean, I guess it makes sense for if you don't have radar on, but...
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I don't know about that one, to be honest. But it's in there. It's the one from the trailer, and... we haven't seen it in action, I don't think.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. We have. Wow.
In the war games, yeah.
So.
And it looked pretty neat. It looked basically like similar to a grenade launcher.
Projectile. It felt like the grenade launcher. I don't know. The more and more I think about this, the more and more it has to be the pull trigger and hold.
I mean,
unless they
Just a grenade launcher that sticks to stuff now. I mean, that's simple as that.
But there's still the whole issue of how do you detonate it and the whole trigger
pulling
thing.
Maybe you just let go, or maybe it just detonates like in a couple of seconds or something if it sticks.
Maybe the video I watched, the people were wrong. Which is possible.
Sure, why not?
With how much info that we got from E3 over the past week, it's been hectic as it is enough already.
Keep in mind, folks, this is not the final product. this weapon could change along the way.
Right. Yeah, these aren't final. These are still beta or
alpha or
maybe alpha.
Who right. even knows at this point? You know?
Right. And who knows how old the build that they had at Halo or at the Halo 4 booth at E3 was? It could be like 3, 5, 6 months behind the actual production build.
Yeah.
So we don't know.
Why show your best cards all in one hand, right?
Yeah, I mean the game will go gold in 4 months, right?
Sure.
Like a month and a half to 2 months before it gets released.
Sure, why not?
So they've probably worked out a lot of the kinks already that's in the game, and probably from the VIP party that they had, they're probably just trying to get feedback and maybe make some little adjustments. Yeah. We'll see, though.
Yeah, we shall see.
DMR is there. BR is there. Assault rifle looks like it packs a punch. The assault rifle looks a lot more beastly in terms of how much damage it can do. At least in the campaign video and the multiplayer stuff, it seems like the assault rifle is on a more balanced level with the battle rifle and the DMR.
Yeah. So, that's good, because I love the assault rifle. Personally, I find it, I don't know why I get so much hate, like, I just find it so reliable, like, it's just solid. You know, it's like, unleash your clip on him, you know, it's just very robust.
And but it you have to be...
like ghosts, it really, at like, a good short to medium range, and the ghost is weakened, it can really tear up ghosts and some other vehicles, it's just quite sturdy.
I don't know, most of the battles I'm in, most times aren't too close, and if they're close, I usually try to go in for the melee, so the assault rifle just doesn't work with my playstyle.
Yeah. Well, usually for close range, definitely. You know, I think like every other time you use an assault rifle, you'll probably get a beatdown, most likely, I think.
Right.
I enjoy using it at medium range, see what I can do with it at medium range, especially if the guy has a DMR, and I kill him with an assault rifle at medium range, it's like, wow, like... Good job to me. That's impressive, huh?
Right.
Ryan, do you have thoughts?
On the DMR and assault rifle?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Well, whenever I use assault rifle, I just find that it loses out to the DMR pretty much, even at close range. It's just, I don't know, I don't find it. I hope they did beef it up, because it would make a lot more sense that way.
I think Reacher's is all right. You know, it's not too powerful, not too weak. I think it's pretty good.
Oh, no, when you have to empty a full clip into someone most of the time.
Not always. No, if you use short control bursts, aim for the head, you actually don't need a full clip. I've done it many times.
Well, it's pretty close to a full clip or 5 shots from
the corner. Of course it's close, but it's not, you know, not entirely.
But you can get 5 DMR shots a lot faster than you can empty through an entire round of assault rifle. Yeah, but using the same
weapon on every single encounter, it's kind of mundane. I just like there to be a bigger variety of weapons. You know, I don't know. I get sick of the DMR. That's all.
Well, it's a precision weapon.
Yeah.
So if you're precise with it, then you're likely going to outplay a BR or an AR. Sorry.
Not at all. I mean, I'm not trying to like toot my own horn, but I've defeated many DMR wielders with an AR lately. It feels very gratifying.
Fair enough.
It's not impossible at all. It's very doable.
No, it's not. Really, and I mean, if you go up against someone whose aim is off or they really suck, then you can definitely take them on with an assault rifle. I mean, I've made
some competent people, though. It was just some good jumping around, some you know, good bursts and stuff. I've even been like competent people with DMRs. Yeah, it's just so much fun.
Right.
It's a hobby.
Which interesting.
But anyway, on this whole main issue, this is what I really like. Like for Halo 4, it's like they're having. So they got Covenant Carbine, DMR, Battle Rifle, Assault Carbine. You know, considering if it's going to be like similar to those weapons, like it's like they're having like a variety of weapons in this one weapon class. Like that's just, it's very refreshing. It's having multiple weapons in one class, especially like faction weapons, like. Now, for UNSC, like, there's more than one precision weapon. There's DMR, and there's BR, and there's possibly assault carbine. Like, it's just, there's a good variety now.
Why would there be an assault carbine? That just doesn't make sense. We already have the BR and the DMR.
More variety. No, not. I don't want to be like Call of Duty. Not. I mean, that's insane. I mean, that's like tons of guns. That's ridiculous. But like, just a little more variety is just. It's just refreshing. Is all.
No, I think we've seen all the human weapons we're going to see except the shotgun.
But haven't we heard of the assault carbine in multiple like places?
They're all strictly rumors.
Have we seen that? I heard Game Informer mention the assault carbine in their article. I mean, that's pretty official.
They did where?
I can pull it out right now. Give me a second. I can read off of it.
All right.
But keep going. Or edit or whatever.
All right.
Has there been gameplay shown with the sniper rifle?
No. Or at least none that I've seen.
None that I've seen either, yeah. We haven't seen it.
No, we have not. I mean, it's the sniper rifle. It's not going to change that much.
I just want to hear what it sounds like.
Well, okay, so the interesting thing, and I think a lot of people have seen this, or at least recognize it, but the sounds in all the Halo 4 stuff, they seem like they're silenced, and it seems like some kind of sound bug that they had issues with this build or something.
Yes, it seemed pretty quiet. But...
Well, I mean, wanted... it sounded like all the weapons had silencers on it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So...
I just hope it sounds similar to what they did with Anniversary, because the sniper rifle in Anniversary sounded awesome.
The sniper rifle was okay. The shotgun was okay, but like the pistol and the assault rifle in Halo CEA were horrible. Cause it sounded like you were shooting like plastic guns. Seriously.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I agree. Yeah.
I mean, it sounded like you were shooting crap. But moving along, we also have the Magnum, which actually confused me in today's video that I released, because I actually referred to it as the pistol. And in the war games one, I referred to it as the Magnum, but I thought I was wrong, because the design looks more like the pistol than it does the Magnum.
Because
the pistol has a little raised thing on the top, but the Magnum didn't. So that's why I was thinking it was a pistol instead. But that doesn't matter too much.
The Magnum looks to be pretty much the same old Magnum as it is before. It doesn't look like they changed much with that.
Well, it looks like the pistol, not the Magnum.
Yeah.
We had the Magnum in Halo 2, but the Magnum had more of a flat top, where this one looks more like the pistol, where it has that little top guard over that scope.
Yeah, that little bump on the end or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And the pistol had zoom. The Magnum did not.
Yeah, 2x zoom.
Right, so... I don't know, this looks very much like the pistol, but it doesn't look like the Magnum at all.
Maybe they brought both?
I guess they could. I don't see why they would do that, though. I mean, you don't see, like, two Covenant small weapons like that, right?
No.
So
But where Daff was going with that, just variety.
I guess. They theoretically could do it, I just don't see why they would do it. Anyways, rocket launcher, we got at least, like, glimpses of it. We saw it being fired, but we didn't get any first-person view of it, so we don't know what the reticle looks like. But that's your typical two-barrel shot, and do we know whether or not it tracks on the vehicles?
I haven't heard anything.
All right. I haven't heard anything either, so I was just kind of following up.
Yeah, no, I haven't heard anything about that. I can imagine they still bring in the airlock.
Right. Okay, Spartan laser we haven't seen yet, but that's pretty much going to act probably the same way.
Didn't we have that one screenshot of it?
I'm not sure what screenshot you're referring to.
Well, I thought there was a leaked screenshot of it.
There was a screen that... we had zoomed in that might have been the laser reticle, but it wasn't. It was actually the DMR reticle.
Okay, well, yeah. I saw it on the Halo console.
Yeah, that's the screen I'm talking about. That was it?
That's the one you're talking about?
Because, yeah, they're talking about the one where it's like scoped in and it had the range thing on it?
Not sure.
I'll link it in the chat and we'll look it up.
Yeah, I'm going to try and find it.
Plasma pistol's back. No changes there. The storm rifle is basically the new plasma rifle. But it's more accurate now. It's more like the... It seems more like the Covenant version of the assault rifle than the plasma rifle did, actually. And one thing to note about the assault rifle and the storm rifle is they actually both have bloom. I think they're the only two weapons with bloom, though. Because that's all we saw from the gameplay stuff through the campaign, war games, etc.
Yeah.
That only those two weapons had bloom.
That seems about right. That only fully automatic weapons would have bloom. Because it's like a weapon like the DMR, like single shot. You know, a single shot, if it's going to be like the same, you know, firing each shot each time, why would there be bloom even if you're going to fire it, you know, as fast as you can? Like, why would there be bloom? It doesn't make sense.
Right. So, hopefully that's just...
Yeah, I think it's a good change.
I think it's all right. I think if you have the right kind of weapons that should have bloom, to have bloom, that's fine, but weapons that just you shouldn't really worry about them having bloom, like the DMR and the BR, then there's really no point. And the bloom for the sniper in Reach is almost pointless completely. I mean, you can spam, but by the time you spam, you're already back down to maybe like 10 or 15% of how big that bloom circle gets anyways. So,
yeah, it seemed pretty...
I think it's a good idea maybe to just have these few weapons have the bloom.
On that second picture down, on that link I sent you, is that it?
Oh, yeah, that's it. But, it's blurry to the point where we really don't...
Yeah.
We can't see much detail about it. And we don't know what the charge time is like. We don't know how long the beam stays on. We don't know how much energy one shot uses. So, I mean, yeah, sure, we can see it, but we don't see it used anywhere.
Yeah, I was just saying, like, yeah, I thought we'd seen it somewhere.
All right, I guess we have then. Just we haven't seen it used, I guess, to be more specific.
Yeah.
Sorry. Do you guys think that the scatter shot and the light rifle are the only ones we're going to see? Because I have a feeling we're going to see more Promethean weapons.
Did you guys read the bulletin today?
Yeah.
She said Promethean weapons. She said repeater in there. And I'm pretty sure we didn't see a Promethean repeater.
Yeah, we didn't see that. So that would be cool. I'd probably like the plasma repeater, but hopefully better.
So it'd be like the Promethean version of the assault rifle.
Basically. Yeah. Like I was saying, I think it was last episode, I think there'll be a Promethean weapon for each like weapon class. Like, Promethean sniper, Promethean RPG, etc.
So the bulletin says the demo also revealed the first look at three Promethean weapons: the light rifle, repeater, and scattershot. So maybe the repeater is the one the Watchers hold.
I don't know because I never seen it.
Was the Watcher shooting a gun in the demo?
Wasn't he firing back? Like, after the chief took out that first knight?
No, didn't he? I guess I'll look it up right now and see.
I thought they had some kind of weapon that really didn't do much damage, but he still had a weapon of some kind.
It's like, irritate you.
Yeah. But I don't remember seeing a repeater, or even... I mean, this is the first time I've actually heard about it, so I don't know where that is. That's interesting.
Yeah, because I had never seen it. I was like, well, I thought there was only two, and then she said three.
I think most people only think there's two. I don't know where this third one is.
Yeah. I see now. Yes, the Watcher is definitely shooting some kind of gun at you. It's like these orange kind of like bolts. They fire. It's kind of like slow rate of fire. These orange like bolts that fly at you.
So maybe it's some kind of like pistol. Because that's
it didn't look like a pistol on the Watcher. It was some kind of. It was like think of the plasma rifle, you know, fires those like blue bolts, kind of slowly. I mean, much slower than like an automatic like human weapon.
Right.
Think of that, but like a lot slower. But like each bolt is like individually more powerful. I guess like, maybe like the brute plasma rifle and like they're orange colored.
All right.
You can imagine it like that. You guys can go watch it or whatever. The listeners can watch it. That's for sure. Yeah, it's
Well, I mean, I've watched it. I just don't remember all the specific details.
Yeah, for the listeners to see what I'm talking about, it's on the Halo 4 campaign demo, right when Chief gets lunged on by the big Promethean Knight, and he gets thrown back, and then a Watcher comes out and starts, you can see him shooting at the Chief, so yeah, if you want to see for yourself.
Yeah, I knew the Watchers had some kind of firing capability.
Yeah.
Another thing in the bulletin that, I don't know why people were, like, hesitant on this, or why they were thinking otherwise, but Steve Downes is still doing the voice of Master Chief. There were some people out there that were skeptical on whether or not he was still doing it, but there's not going to be any reason why they're going to change up voice actors unless, like, one of them gets sick, deathly ill, and can't voice act, or they die. So, I think pretty much Steve Downes is going to be Master Chief throughout the rest of Halo's history until he passes away or something.
Yay.
The same for Jyn Taylor being Cortana and or Dr. Halsey if we ever see her again.
Isn't Jyn Taylor, like, a lot younger than Steve Downes?
Yeah.
So, at least have Cortana for a while, huh?
Well, she's going rampant, so we don't know how much longer she has.
But I mean, the voice actress, but isn't how old is Steve Downes? Is he like 50s or 60s or what?
I want to say 50s.
Oh, I mean, as long as he's in good health, we'll still have him for like 20, 30 more years, huh?
Well, he smokes.
So. That's not good. Stop smoking, Steve Downes. It's killing your lungs.
Well, that's the only reason he has that voice.
Not necessarily. I wouldn't attribute his voice to necessarily smoking.
Sure.
I guess while we're on the topic of the bulletin, we might as well go ahead and cover the rest of it. Although, there's not much stuff, but there's some little tidbits in here. Just because Infamous Jazz Hands on the video that they put up the, what was it, Saturday or Sunday before E3 started? But anyways, that's
okay, Oh, go on.
No, go ahead.
I was not able to find my Game Informer magazine. I remember now that it's at my friend's house. But I did some Googling, and they definitely did mention a weapon called the Assault Carbine in the Game Informer article. And it, some people on the Waypoint forums were just speculating if that was maybe like a code word for like the railgun or something. But we didn't see that this time either. Yeah, that's a good point.
Mm.
But to this day, we still, I mean, the Assault Carbine is still up in the air. We don't know if that is the railgun or if it just hasn't been revealed yet or what. I'm making a threat on Waypoint right now asking you about, like, what's up with it, so we'll see what people say.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it just sounded like a cool weapon that could, like, possibly, like, compete with the DMR, BR, etc. Like, it, you know, just more new cool weapons. I'm just looking forward to seeing it.
Right. Well, I think we've pretty much seen most of the human arsenal already. It looks like...
We haven't seen the shotgun in action, have we? We saw it, like,
That's why I said
in red versus blue, but not in action.
Yeah, that's why I said most. I didn't say all, I said most.
Have we seen the rocket launcher in action?
We have, but just not in first person.
Okay, I mean, we haven't seen the sniper at all, right?
Nope.
Okay, and, yeah, I don't know, there might be... They might have a few more tricks up their sleeve, we have no idea.
Yeah, but other than that, it looks like the human arsenal is pretty much set. The Covenant one is still needing some work, and we're probably going to see more Promethean ones.
Covenant's
as well.
Got, like, nothing. Covenant's pretty dark still. This is interesting. Kind of now they're going to have, weapon. Like, three families of weapon types. Covenant, Human, and Promethean.
That's right.
That's interesting. That's a lot.
Although the Promethean ones look really, really cool.
Yeah.
The fact that the little pieces float together when you pick them up.
Yeah.
That is pretty cool.
Some of those Prometheans weapons, I mean, like what we saw in the War Games demo, I mean, some of those have got to be, like, power weapons. Like, they seem very powerful. Unless...
Well, if you watch some of the multiplayer videos, the light rifle was not one of the options for the primary weapon, so...
Was the scatter shot or whatever?
That's an
The scatter shot was an ordnance drop.
Okay, well, that's good. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that stuff shouldn't be, like... Yeah, like spawn with it, definitely.
Right.
I want to see how that's going to affect with that light rifle, how it shoots three when you're hip shooting it, and then one big shot when you're shooting it scoped in.
Yeah, because from what I remember from the campaign demo, maybe I remember this wrong, but it seemed like the Chief was doing one shots, zoomed out, and zoomed in.
Yeah, that's what it seemed like. I watched like a commentary.
Unless there were very, very, very rapid succession shots where there was very little gap between the timings of the.
Yeah, they do sound different. Like, I went back and watched it again once I heard that. They do sound different, the shots. But
all right, maybe they just need to sharpen some of the graphics or something. Maybe. But we'll see some more Promethean weapons, I'm sure.
In due time.
Yeah. We'll probably have some kind of sniper weapon. Some kind of rocket launcher. Like, for the Covenant stuff, we're likely to see a fuel rod gun. We're likely... The Needler's in there. It's not on the ordnance page, but the Needler is in there.
Yeah.
Rumors of the beam rifle is back. I don't think we have anything confirmed yet, but the beam rifle is supposed to be back. As rumored.
I say with this new trend...
Oh, Needler's on the ordnance page, sorry.
Oh, cool. I say with this new trend of them having, like, multiple weapons in the same weapon category, they should just have both beam rifle and focus rifle for, like, the Covenant sniper class. Like, why not?
They could. I don't know. Focus rifle doesn't do anything for me. There are some people who enjoy it. I know.
It isn't horrible. Like, it's doable. I get kills with it, you know, when I have it, you know, usually. If they have that,
then bring back the Sentinel Beam.
It's viable.
Bring back the Sentinel Beam.
The Promethean weapons basically kind of, like, embody that, you know, motif.
I guess it's true.
Yep. And now the question is, right, vehicles, Promethean vehicles?
I don't know. Well, the fact that they can teleport and phase shift around, it's kind of like they don't really...
I doubt we've seen all the Prometheans.
That big Probably. Ball in campaign, that's the vehicle.
Supposedly, like, rumors have it that's something related to the Didact.
Of course it is.
So... I'm still reading through the flood.
Promethean vehicles, I imagine, would just be, like, awesome. Like amazing, you know?
You guys gotta get to Krypton.
Like, for Promethean vehicles, I was assuming they'd be some kind of, like, hovercraft, right?
Yeah.
Mounted turrets.
No, they're horses with wagons. You know?
Classy fellows, aren't they?
Like turrets with like the Promethean type of ammo, right? The orange stuff, and you know.
I mean, while that would be cool, I don't think we'll see it.
Why not? We have Promethean weapons. Why not? Why not vehicles? Why not do the whole shebang?
Because it's like there's no need for them because they can teleport everywhere.
But we haven't seen all of them. We've seen the Knight, the Watcher, and the Crawler. Have they confirmed that that's the entire Promethean family that we're going to see in Halo 4?
No, but I can't imagine there'd be much more.
Why not? There's a whole collection of Covenant enemies. Why can't there be a whole collection?
Yeah, but if you look at the Flood, there's only three types of Flood enemies, so it's not like they need a large variety of Prometheans.
That's different, though. The Prometheans are not the Flood. I just think, like, you know... It's just, use a
they aren't human or Covenant either. They're AIs. They're not like a bunch of different classes coming together or something like that. They're just AI.
And the Forerunners in their infinite wisdom, don't you think they would produce many different kinds of versatile AI for many different situations of combat?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, why not make one thing that can do just about everything?
Well, sometimes you just can't, you know. Specialist is better. Well,
I mean, they were one of the most powerful beings in the galaxy.
Yeah. I just don't see 343 as revealing all of the Prometheans, like, now. Like, that's it. It's over. Like, you've seen them all. Like, I just don't see that happening. It just seems, like, anticlimactic almost. You know, they gotta reveal some more stuff down the line.
Well, yeah, they're going to. So, I mean, no worries.
I think there's Promethean enemies we haven't seen. There's vehicles and there's weapons, of course. There's still I have a feeling there's still much to be revealed along with Covenant. I doubt.
Well,
there's gonna be stuff
to be revealed all the way up until launch.
I don't know. You just don't seem very like it just doesn't seem like you see the Prometheans having much more to like offer up except for like weapons at this
point.
Well,
I don't really see them needing to, I guess, is more like it. Well,
like, what do you mean? What's Halo? I mean, like, does anything need anything? I mean, does Halo need anything? You know, you could, like, to what extent? You know what I mean? Like, does it need anything?
I said we're going to have more Covenant weapons.
Well.
And I think we're going to have, if the repeater is not the assault rifle, we're going to have an assault rifle weapon of some kind.
So why Covenant weapons are needed, but not new Promethean stuff, the new cool, like, species, as opposed to, like, you know, tried and true purple guy army.
I'm not saying they can't.
Okay.
I just don't think that they would or don't necessarily need to.
I just think with this whole new, cool, flashy species they've created, that they would want to utilize it in every field of combat. Tons of enemies, tons of weapons, tons of vehicles. You know?
Hmm.
I just don't see them as showing, like, I don't see it as being only three types of enemies, and we've seen them all already. That just seems poorly planned.
Okay, fair point.
I could see there being more enemies, but I don't know if they necessarily need vehicles.
Well, I think it'd be cool.
It would be awesome, yeah.
What kind of vehicle would you think it would be?
You said a hovercraft. Oh, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe,
I said a hovercraft. What would you guys think?
Maybe a jet, like some kind of like aerial combat, right? Because that begs the question: Are there going to be human jets, or are they going to stick with the helicopter type planes? you know what I mean? They're going to stick with the
probably helicopter like.
Why not jets?
Think they would advance it by now.
Yeah, Banshee is like basically a jet. Why not human jet?
Well, the Pelican can land vertically.
Not that bulky thing.
Mm-hmm.
But are we going to get to fly a pelican?
Not well. Isn't that just like the joke of the century, right? But it's something like not a bulky thing like a pelican, but not like nearly as like not a giant spacecraft like a longsword fighter or whatever. Just you know, like a one person you know in atmosphere fighter jet, basically. But like in the future, why not?
All right.
Repurpose Saber.
Like I said, the Banshee is basically a Covenant jet. You know, when you boost and everything, so...
I guess that's true.
The way in that Halo 4 campaign demo, the E3, you know, in the jungle, all that, before he goes into the jungle, you see the Banshees whizzing over his head, like, basically just like jets.
Right.
With the streams behind them, I mean, that's pretty foreboding.
Yeah, that's not how pelicans work.
I'm not saying pelican. I'm saying, like, it's like a new type of, like, vehicle. Like a single person, you know, little jet thing for like an atmosphere.
All right.
I mean, Dusty's feeling close minded tonight.
I'm just tired.
Well, I'd like to see a vulture.
Like, I'm seriously sitting here with my eyes closed.
A vulture, like in Halo Wars?
Yeah, that'd be sweet in multiplayer.
Vulture. I forget what those look like.
It's like an armed pelican.
All right.
Yeah, here's an idea, 343. Integrate more Halo Wars vehicles into mainstream Halo, and on that note, announce Halo Wars 2.
Well, do you know how sweet it would be to drive a Grizzly in campaign?
Ooh, cool.
There's lots of nice, cool things that would be nice to do.
Speaking of integration, one thing I really do like about 343 is that they seem to really, really like listen to the fans who... want more expanded universe integration, like the books really connecting to the games and like characters. Because the Bungie never really quite attained to that. Like they never really seemed to pay it much mind, that whole kind of desire.
I think it's kind of more important to the guys that are there right now, anyways.
Like the super fans working at 343, basically.
Yeah, like Frankie and some of the other guys.
So wait a minute, the Bungie guys weren't too into it.
I think they were into it at first, but then when it was basically run by Microsoft, they kind of let loose.
Milk it.
Well, I mean, that's basically what Microsoft is doing, right?
But isn't that kind of like ironic almost that like when it's not made directly by Microsoft, it's like not expanded universe, but when it is, it is expanded universe. Like, isn't that's kind of weird, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting what happened there, huh?
Hmm.
Hmm.
Yeah, I had to think about that when I'm not so tired. We also have seen the Warthog, the Mongoose, and the Ghost.
Oh, cool.
And one of the nice things about that is when they show up on your radar, they actually show up as little insignias of what the vehicles are. So you can differentiate between actual foot soldiers and people in vehicles. So that's nice. I don't know if you guys have seen it. Did you guys see that in the War Games video that I did? Or you haven't watched them? All right.
No, I've watched War Games. I think I vaguely remember. I remember the Ghost. I remember the Warthog. Mongoose, maybe vaguely.
It's just a nice little touch that they
do. Yeah, I mean, I don't like overly analyze it. I just kind of like watch it, like, oh, Halo, you know, cool. Can't wait.
Well, I'm also, because there's another, it's either like an armor ability or a tactical supply of some kind, but it's like radar efficiency or something, and it enhances your radar. So maybe what we were seeing was an enhanced radar that can actually like outline those things. Where a regular radar wouldn't be able to do that. Maybe. So. That pretty much covers the ordnance for the most part. In terms of maps, we actually have official names for them now.
Fantastic.
So, Wraparound is now called Haven, and Warhouse is called Adrift.
Oh, and that's much better.
And the map that we saw in the leaks and the other snowy map that we've been seeing is actually called Longbow.
Oh, cool.
And it's actually a little bit smaller than I thought it was actually going to be, but it still looks pretty fun.
Yeah, I thought Wraparound and Warhouse were, like, awkward names for those maps.
It's like, well, they were code names.
It's like Reach Around and Whorehouse.
Yeah, we've all heard those before.
Yeah, it's horrible. What are they thinking?
I want to see that. Did you guys see any footage of that snowy map that they were talking about for vehicles?
We mean forges.
No, like four vehicles. They said.
Well, there was the Warthog, the Ghost, the Mongoose.
No. The map they said for multiplayer that was at E3, the snowy one.
That's Longbow.
Longbow?
Yeah.
I was just wondering if you guys had like seen. Is there any footage of it?
Yeah, there's. Well, I take that back. Hang on. Yeah, there's footage in the War Games video. All the vehicle scenes are done on Longbow, because that's the only map that we've seen so far that has vehicles on it. So, yeah, we have gameplay on there. And yeah, and I can actually see where some of the stuff takes place now that I can see a top-down view of it.
Yeah, I wanted to see a little bit of the vehicle action on there.
Yeah, that's all in the War Games video.
Well, I will have to watch that.
You will. You obviously didn't watch the Pod TV episode that I did on it either. I got him speechless.
I did not watch that one. I'm a lot more up to date with the podcast.
Okay, Brian, and also all you listeners, go on the Podtacular homepage and watch all those wonderful Pod TV videos that Deathstorm has made. So,
or just do podtacular.com/YouTube.
Sure. That works too. Yeah, just he's labored over them. They're wonderful. Watch them. Comment on them either on the YouTube video or the article comments on the homepage, whichever you prefer. And also, while you're there, go to the forums, which you can find the button for that at the top center right. Shameless plug.
Yay.
Shameless plug.
Shameless plug. Woohoo.
I mean, it's on your own podcast. So.
Well, yeah. I don't have a list of the tactical packages in front of me. One of the MLG videos that's out there actually has them all listed out, but they're not in a full list anywhere. Mm-hmm. Let me Google it real quick, because there might be a list, but if we can't find those, we're going to go ahead and jump straight into some submissions of what you guys sent in about your thoughts on E3.
Oh, fantastic.
Is there anything else that stuck out to you guys while I do this search about, like, the Spartan Ops or the War Games?
Well, I like the Halo Infinity trailer. I think the whole the menu for the War Games and the Spartan Ops and the the armor selection and when you see the aftermath, so you see your credits fill up your bar and like the rank up. Like, I mean, it all looks very sleek It all looks much just sleeker and flashier and just cooler looking as a whole than Reach is.
Well, and how every time you went down to the different armor sets, the guy was moving on the right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It looked very well done. And like how it was in the ship's like command center and all that. Like the whole thing, it was very good presentation.
Yeah, and I really liked how they did how they opened it with the live action cutting directly into the game. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. And yeah, the cutscenes for the Spartan Ops episode, like episodic cutscenes. They showed like a couple seconds of one with like some guy talking with like his helmet off. Like it looked pretty well done. Good like mouth work and you know.
Now, do you think if they do a season two, it'll be like it'll cost Microsoft points?
No,
Spartan Ops is free for any gold user.
Yeah.
Any gold user?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Which is good. I mean, gold users deserve things that the silver users don't get because we pay money for gold.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just feel like there's not enough gold benefits at the moment.
Well, besides being able to play online.
Yeah. Well, we need more than that, I feel. Especially since they jacked the price up. You know, now it's for 3 months, three-month cards, $25 as opposed to the 20 it was, what, like a year ago or so?
Yeah, well, isn't 1 year like $60?
Something. I mean, yeah, it is cheaper to buy the one year card than a bunch of 3 month cards, etc. But...
Well, I mean, there's always savings when you buy in bulk.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, actually, we're paying for this premium service, supposedly, right? We should get like a lot of stuff at that point. It's my opinion. It's one man's opinion.
Right. Okay, so I have somewhat of a list here from what people have been able to gather. This might be on Waypoint somewhere, and I'm just not finding it. Here they are. Found them. All right. They're on. So in case you guys want to see these are actually under, if you go to the Halo 4 site, they're under Halo Evolved and then Gameplay. So I forget that this one was actually in a weird place. In terms of armor abilities, the four that we have details for are the thruster pack, which is basically it gets you from kind of point A to point B really quickly. You can't shoot, you can't like change directions. It's like once you hit the thruster pack, you're going and that's it.
Do you think you'll be able to shoot that sideways though, like off the start?
No, so whichever direction you're moving is the direction you're going.
How fast is it going?
It's pretty fast. If you look at the War Games gameplay, we see someone using it to get up behind someone and assassinate.
And then where is that? What's the time slot?
It's early on. I want to say maybe somewhere between 40 seconds and a minute.
I'll go watch it right now.
And then we also have it in the Spartan Ops one as well.
Oh, cool.
About halfway through. We also have the Hard Light Shield, which is basically a front shield similar to the Jackal Energy Shield that we have, although you can't shoot anything and you walk a lot slower. And someone can still come
shield.
Up.
I don't think you can beat people with it, though.
No, you can't. It's just a static shield.
Will we be able to disrupt it if we shoot it enough?
Yeah.
Like the Reach Bubble Shield stuff?
Yeah, because it slowly changes color to red and then goes, doesn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. I'm just worried about it being the new armor lock. But if you can destroy destroy it eventually, and plus you can shoot them like in the back and from the side. I mean, that doesn't seem like that horribly overpowered.
Yeah. Well, if you look at the Spartan Ops video, you can actually see that the person that has the shield up is taking hits, and then his shield actually pops before the power meter goes out. So it is possible to take out the shield.
Okay. Well, that's good.
And you can't you shoot them in the? I'm pretty sure someone said that you could shoot in the feet if they weren't crouched.
Probably, yeah, you could probably.
Looks like it.
Although, I mean, shooting at the feet is.
I mean, yeah, you'd probably be better off just popping the shield.
Right.
But also, you could bounce the scatter shot underneath of it.
I guess you could, but it'd be trying to like pull off a headshot almost. Except it's not level with your head, so it's a little bit harder to do.
Mm.
But I guess you normally don't think about shooting at feet, though, unless you're like peeking at an area where all you can see is their feet.
Yeah.
But yeah, Next one that we have confirmed is the Promethean vision, and you guys saw this in the campaign gameplay, and I think every video actually has that at some point. All the gameplay videos, that is. And what that is basically sends out a pulse, and it'll show you where all your enemies are, your teammates, and that kind of stuff. So anything that's not being blocked by like the environment or anything is going to be a solid color, and then anything that's hiding behind an object is going to be just the outline. And your allies show up in green, and your enemies show up in red. So typical kind of visor fashion
stuff. Interesting. It's like Christmas.
Red and green. Indeed it is. The last one that we have confirmed is the hologram. And that's basically just like your hologram from Halo. You point to a point, you use the effect, and it shoots a hologram towards it. Now, another thing that I noticed in the videos that we saw, and these aren't explicitly mentioned anywhere, but we do have active camo. We saw a little icon for it. We didn't see it used, but we do have an icon for it, so we know it's in there. Yeah. And then one big point that I made in the video I just posted today was the fact that it looks like the jetpack and the thruster pack are different.
That's interesting.
So the thruster pack is more used for a lateral movement, and the jetpack is more for vertical and getting up and above. And if you look at it, the effects on the two things are actually very different and very unique. So it looks like we have a jetpack confirmed in there, along with the thruster pack.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool.
Yeah, like jetpack versus thruster pack, who will win?
Well, I guess at that point, it's like, can the jetpack person get up high enough before the thruster pack guy comes and decides to ground pound him?
Yeah. Or even if a jetpack guy is high above you, if you're just like, I guess, like evasive enough with the thruster, you could like dodge his shots and away from like fall down and then get him or something.
Well, I wonder how rapidly you can use that thruster.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't even know if those things are on the same class though, because you can almost think of the thruster like it's a super sprint.
Perhaps
you're just getting from one point to the other really fast.
Are these armor abilities, like, are you going to unlock these as you go? Are these all available at the start? Are you going to buy them? How's that going to work?
That's a good question.
And are they going to come with the limited?
I would...
Because if it's like a super sprint, you'd think, like, you know, just from the sound of it, super sprint, like, it's like you'd unlock it or something.
Yeah, I guess since they're doing the whole unlock system anyway, we're going to have some of those items.
Which is good. It's like capitalism, you know, where you work for it, right? It stimulates matchmaking activity.
Right, which I think is okay.
It's healthy. Healthy for the game.
I mean, it's not like you're going to break the game otherwise. So, I guess that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Tactical packages, the two that we have confirmed is the shield package. And what that'll do is, from what it sounds like, your shields will charge a little bit faster. Your shields will recharge at a quicker speed. And I think that's pretty much the only thing that's different. And then there's the firepower package, where you can actually hold more ammunition for the weapons that you have. So we have those two tactical packages confirmed. There are other ones that we talked about in the leak episode, but those are the only two that we have confirmed. In terms of support upgrades, we have three of them confirmed. This first one is ammo upgrade, and that also gives you an increased ammo. So I think the hang on real quick.
Hey, take your time.
I think one of these is like comes with your ordnance drop, and then one of these other ones are something that you can add on to your Spartan. Let's see. Tactical packages are software upgrades that increase Spartan's combat readiness and responsiveness when configured within their loadout. Support upgrades. Ad hoc technology-based enhancements to a Spartan's armor functionality.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so it looks like the tactical packages are going to be used when you're doing the Infinity multiplayer, the war game stuff. And then maybe the support packages are only for the Spartan Ops missions? Because I don't see why you would need to have the... Oh, hang on. I misread that. I'm sorry. People are yelling at me right now. Okay, I'm wrong on the fire pack.
I'm not yelling at you.
Well, the audience probably is. And I'm tired. Don't yell. I'm tired, so deal with it. The firepower package actually allows you to carry two primary weapons. So, I correction on that. So instead of having, like, so your primary loadout, you can have the assault rifle, the DMR, the BR, the storm rifle, or the Covenant carbine. Those are the five weapons that you can use on your primary weapon loadout. And then for your secondary, you can have the Magnum or the plasma pistol. So what this firepower support package will do, or this firepower tactical package, sorry, will do is allow you to have two primary weapons. So you could do DMR AR, you could do BR carbine, or whatever mix and match that you want to do of those. Support upgrades. I just did the ammo upgrade. You get more increased ammo. The sensor upgrade. It says it increases your sensor's range of sensitivity, and it looks like you'll be able to get some more sensor information that other people will not necessarily be able to get, like detecting cloaked people. So there's some advantages to using that. And then there's the awareness upgrade. And this is supposed to be somehow connecting into the way you interact with the scopes of your weapons. The awareness upgrade will actually let you keep your radar while you're zoomed in. So if you guys, whenever you zoom into a weapon normally, you lose your radar. The awareness upgrade will actually let you keep your radar while you're zoomed in. So
that'd be good for snipers.
Yeah. You can see if someone's sneaking up behind you. Kind of reminds me of like those Call of Duty videos where someone goes up behind someone, sends them a message, and stabs them in the back. Right?
Not with that on.
Yeah, not anymore. Sucks to be you guys. Alright. Well, that's all the ordnance stuff that we have to really talk about. So let's get on to some submissions from you guys. And we have quite a few. This will be interesting. Starting off with Dodger125, he writes in, just wondering how you guys feel about the pre-order armor. My personal favorite is the Oceanic armor with the circuit skin. I also like the basic forest skin. Some of the armors is a bit wacky. Do you reckon that the Venator armor is Forerunner? It just seems to get that vibe from it. Also, do you think it would be cool if your specialization slightly altered your appearance? Example, if you go for something like 10% faster sprinting, your guy looks smaller and leaner, or if you take extra ammo, your guy is bulkier. Just speculation. Keep on the awesome podcasting and keep on fragging trucks. Let's see. I don't have the picture of the veneer armor in front of me, if you guys want us to pull that up. But in terms of like changing your Spartan's appearance because of armor abilities, I don't think we're going to see that.
It would be cool, but I can't imagine them doing it.
I think the only customization of armor stuff we have is basically your... like the armor pieces that we have in Reach in Halo 3, where it's the chest piece, your shoulder pieces, your helmet, that kind of stuff is the only kind of customization you'll get. I don't think there would be any visual changes to the physical appearance of your Spartan.
It'd be
like,
cool.
Like the Spartan's posture, not necessarily like the armor and stuff. That'd be different, but the posture of the Spartan forwards would not change.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be cool because you'd be able to tell if they had maybe more ammo or whatever just by looking at them. But
right. So, the Oceanic one was kind of one of my favorites as well. The Forest one is your typical military camo anyway, so I have a feeling a lot of people just kind of default to that as the skin they choose since it's familiar. Some of the other ones are weird, though. Like the web one, it makes sense that it has a spider on it, but it's just weird.
Yeah, it doesn't seem very Halo.
Not quite, but it is what it is.
It's trying to be all wacky or something.
I mean, I get that they're trying to let people customize their stuff, but it seems like you could come up with more functional patterns than the ones that we're getting for pre-offers or pre-order bonuses. Or maybe that's why they're pre-order bonuses, because all the regular-looking ones are going to be unlockable in the game. Mm-hmm. And they're giving all the weird ones to the retailers to pre-order divvy out. No. So. I bought mine from GameStop.
I still haven't pre-ordered.
And this was before all the pre-order bonuses were even announced. But I'm kind of glad I did, because I get the BR skin as well. Yay!
I'll be going to EB Games.
Well, EB Games and GameStop is the same company.
Yeah.
So EB Games is dead.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
EB Games is dead. I have two within a block.
That's unusual.
Yeah, there's like one in the mall, and then there's one right down the street on its own. I don't understand why. Like, it's a five-minute walk. Cool.
All right.
Very cool.
You want to take the next one, Daft? Since Jimmy is right after, and then I guess he would want to read his submission.
Well, we can skip it if you want.
Okay.
We usually have our guests read their submissions if they have one.
All right.
So, I mean, if you want to, you can. If not, one of us can read it.
Sure, yeah. You go ahead. I'll read the next one.
You're going to read Jimmy's?
Oh.
The next one is Duty Bounds.
Yeah, I'll read that, guys.
All right.
Duty Bounds says, so I thought that I would send you guys a tale that happened to me on Halo Reach. So I killed a player 6 times in a row in a match. I didn't realize that I had it until I watched the game in theater mode. Here's what happened. I was playing DMR Slayer and Team Slayer matchmaking on a map that I'd never played before. I managed to tell us the name of it. I was on blue team and had a full DMR. What?
So it doesn't really help us, does it?
Yeah, maybe it was like one of those Forge maps or something. Yeah, that's why. You said...
Yeah, there's lots of those.
Yeah. It was on blue team and I had a full DMR, a 4-bullet sniper rifle, and active camo. I was on top of a small tower in AC. What is AC?
Oh, active camo.
When Flared Cookie won a guest account with jetpacking up to my position, when he landed, I did a quick body shot with the sniper to take out his shield, and then did a quick pummel, kill one. I jumped off the tower in AC, looking towards a ramp. Maybe that's like Pinnacle or something.
I'm trying to figure out what map it is. Yeah.
I see a red pounding a corner. Could be that down like to the left, down there with the sniper spawn.
That's kind of. Is there camo on Pinnacle?
Well, no, he probably had that. He had the loadout probably.
But he said, the tower in AC.
He was in the tower while he was using his active camo loadout.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. I see a red rounding a corner after taking heavy fire. His shields were down, so I took another body shot. It was the player I just killed. He killed two. I go through a door still in active camo and crouched looking through down a small corridor. A red goes through the same door and starts to jetpack through the tunnel. I shoot another sniper body shot and clean up the kill with my DMR. It's the same guy again, kill three. I go back through the door and see a needle rifle, and I plan to swap it out for my one-shot sniper. Just as I get to the gun, a red spawns directly 2 feet from my face. I quickly use the last shot to take out the shield and do another pummel. Kill four. Boy, this guy must be pissed at this point. I swap out the sniper for the needle rifle and go up the ramp that I was looking at during kill two, and I'm crouched again with active camo. Yet again, here comes the red using jetpack and lands about 3 feet in front of me. As he attempts to go down the ramp, I quickly assassinate him, kill five. Finally, I run around a little bit and find the sword. I go into active camo and wait for my next victim. Who do you think it will be? As the unfortunate red turns the corner, I slice him in half, kill six.
Wow.
I now honestly feel as if the game wanted me to kill him, as he seemed to spawn very close to me. If you would like to watch the unabridged version, just look at my gamer tag, DutyBound, in the in-game file share search. It is labeled as 6 kills in a row. Thank you, sir.
Crazy.
I think I'll watch that sometime.
Six, wow. Way to go, Reach. You have an excellent spawn system.
Oh.
That sounds like Pinnacle.
Perhaps.
That sucks. I feel sorry for the guy
For the red guy.
Yeah, hey, it does suck for the red guy.
Good for Duty Bound. You know, he's skilled. You know, good for him. He won his share.
He fully utilized his active camo in that situation, didn't he?
Good job, sir.
It's your turn to read your submission, if you so choose.
All right. Don't we just read it word for word? You just want me to sum it up?
You could do it either way.
Well, it was just, I was listening to you guys talk about it on the Prometheans, and I just did the Prometheans, like, in the gameplay campaign, just, they're not the same as they are in the books. And I don't know if it's, I don't know why.
How do you mean?
In Cryptum and in Primordium, I think it's called.
Primordium, yeah, that's what it's called.
It talks about, like, the Prometheans being, like, basically just the Forerunners, just a bigger warrior version. They're not, like, they're still Forerunners. They're still, like, flesh. But these guys that we see in the campaign don't really seem like flesh. They're more of an AI. But the Didact has with him in Cryptum a bunch of, like, AI.
The guys that we're seeing in the game aren't Prometheans. They're basically robots. They're just AI controlled artificial intelligence. They're not like flesh and blood anything.
Yeah, but they call them the Prometheans, which is what's maybe.
Well, they're Promethean class.
Promethean knights, sir.
Yeah.
Prometheans
could have just made them and called them knights. Here's our security force, pretty much.
It's more like they're Promethean class than they are actual Prometheans.
Yeah, it's just weird just to say that. Just kind of, I was just asking about that kind of thing.
I think it's just like based on convenience, where it's just easier to call them Promethean than to say, like, Promethean bodyguards or something like that.
They are
of Promethean design. How about that?
Okay.
So they are Promethean.
They fit the Promethean motif.
That and how. I just don't get the Didact being the bad guy in this.
But do we know that?
Everyone seems to be thinking that way.
That's all speculation. Speculation.
No, a lot of it's based off of the books.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't understand.
And I haven't gotten that far, so I won't be that far for another few months.
Man, we suck. Yeah. I mean, just you are so right, listeners. I mean, I know you're thinking right now, like, we suck, huh? We're terrible.
Well,
need to read those books.
I'm reading through them. I decided to read through from the beginning, yeah. So it's going to take me a little
bit. I'm reading through Two Towers right now, so if you want to talk about, like, you know, Frodo or Sam or Smeagol or Gandalf, you know, I can do all the, I could do that all day, but, you know, Cryptum, I haven't even gotten to that.
Yeah,
well, I should be finishing The Flood this weekend, so I'll be starting on First Strike. Like tomorrow or something like that.
Oh, good, good.
And that'll take me maybe 3 weeks to finish. And then I'll be reading Ghost of Onyx.
Oh, fantastic.
That's a good one. But yeah, I don't understand how the Didact is going to be the enemy. I know it said it in the terminals and everything, kind of like saying, hinting towards it, but I just don't see it. But I could be wrong. Just from what the books have portrayed, it doesn't seem like he would be the enemy.
All right.
Where he's kind of teaming up with humans and through it, so.
Well,
maybe he's had a change of heart. Maybe he hates humans now. Who knows?
Well, that's what it was. He hated them, and then he didn't hate them.
And maybe he's reverted.
I was just about to say, maybe he's gone back, because was he in, like, deep stasis or something, or?
Well, if you guys don't want to talk about the books, do you guys, like, can I talk about the books?
I'd rather not. I'm sorry. I really do apologize. Yeah. I really don't want to read.
That's why I didn't want to tread on any of that, so.
No, Storm, we suck.
We don't suck. We're just
a little behind.
Ill-prepared in certain areas where we should be more prepared in.
Yeah, I won't tread on any of that because you're asking questions that are spoiler.
Mm-hmm. We will work on the audience.
So, anyway. Tamper Switch.
All right, Tamper Switch is next. And he has three of them, one long one and two short ones. So his first one, he says, "Hello, fine folks of Podtacular. First off, E3, the only thing I did not like were the Forerunner, despite Cortana's comment on them not being organic, bug things." And I think he means Promethean. He's talking about the Watchers.
Things, yeah, no, Crawlers. Crawlers
the
like
Crawlers the, or the Watchers?
Watchers are the big hovering drones.
Right, those could be considered bug things.
The crawlers look like bug things, yeah, because they're crawling around on trees and stuff.
They look more like tigers.
Yeah, but if you think about the Watchers, they look like the drones or the buggers.
Watcher reminds me way more of a like one of those big beefed up sentinels from, like, the Arbiter levels.
All right. Okay, so we decided crawlers here.
Yes.
It looked like they pulled them right out of Lost Planet with the orange glowing goo. And I hated that Forerunner creature Master Chief gets in the Promethean rifle thing from. The skull inside really threw me off and it felt out of place. I was reminded a lot of the Human Reaper at the end of Mass Effect 2. Very suddenly and out of place, I got the vibe that these Promethean Sentinel things are replacing the Flood as an off-put enemy like the Flood.
I thought the skull thing was cool.
I thought it was pretty cool. And I haven't played Mass Effect enough to get the comparison.
It's just like, it kind of looks like a skull. That's the only, like, they both had skulls.
I mean, the Promethean enemies that we saw in the game look very believable. That they could have been some kind of AI defense that the Forerunners and the Prometheans used. So it doesn't seem out of place.
I don't seem... It's new. That's the only thing I can think of.
And the crawlers, to me, look more like dogs than they do bugs.
Yeah, like a dog or a cat, yeah.
I want one as a pet. All right, he goes on to say, Halo tends to keep a three-enemy faction in his games with little exceptions. But thinking back, maybe that'll be what's left for the Covenant. Lately, it's been the Covenant, humans, and Flood from Halo CE to Halo 3 with a few pesky Sentinels, except in Halo Reach's case where it was Elites, Brutes, and Humans. Brutes and Elites serving as different forces with different traits, ranks, etc. That doesn't really make sense, because there's still Covenant, so... I mean, Halo Reach is still just two, in my opinion. So that leaves me asking, where are my ape-like foes, the Brutes? I'll be excited to know. It's a good question.
Well, yeah, because there's no way they're still going to get along with the Elites.
No.
We should bring them back just for, like, you know, the sake of them always being around.
Yeah.
Maybe those green ships in your video were Brutes, not Elites.
Nice, nice plug. Goes on to say... You done?
I'll admit, no, it's like Gollum, right? With you keep nasty chips.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boil them, mash them, stick them in a stew. Potatoes.
I'll admit, I wanted more. That extremely telling demo was simply not enough. What? Well, I think we got a lot in that demo.
Yeah, we did.
I am perfectly satisfied with how much stuff we got.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Yeah, especially with all the multiplayer.
Yeah, sure, why not? Yeah,
we got a boatload of information this week. Like, this is the biggest drop. We got Halo 4 got so much attention that the website is having issues. Like, they're struggling to keep halo.xbox.com up and running because of how many visitors they had. Today, there's the highest visitor count on the forums. Over 170,000 people on at the same time on the Halo 4 website. So, if that wasn't enough to draw that much of a crowd, I don't know what is. But let's get to it. I was very interested when I learned that the ship was Infinity. I get a Splinter Cell Conviction vibe where, along with the normal campaign, there's an awesome secondary story in the co-op that would be Spartan Ops. Perhaps that's how we learned that how the Infinity gets there or the aftermath. And I'm pretty sure that's how it's going to go down as well.
Well, is the Forward Unto Dawn, that movie that they're doing, not movie, but episodic thing, is that going to show how Infinity gets there? Because doesn't it lead right into it?
I think so. Yeah, because it's Forward Unto Dawn is basically just supposed to be following this Marine that's been inspired by Master Chief. And I think it's directly tied with the Infinity. So,
I know it said that it directly led right into Halo 4, so it only makes sense.
Yeah, I think it's definitely part of Infinity. I wouldn't see why not. So, I'm still stoked as hell for it and all, and I realize I'll have to see the whole thing to make a proper judgment. But being said, Halo 4 was easily the best of the Microsoft press event, despite the fact it didn't take my breath away. Those are my true feelings on the demo. I know it's only a demo, but nonetheless, I was absolutely stunned by the detail, lighting, and overall graphical uprising. The animation of the enemies and scenes played well, and I found myself very intrigued, like giving the littlest bit of, but really sweet, what? I found myself very intrigued, like giving the littlest bit of, but really sweet treat to a small child with the Halo Tackler sweet tooth.
Sweet teeth.
Well, you can't have a teeth. You have a tooth. I fixed it on the fly. In the unknown, but sure as hell wanting more. I can hardly wait to see what's coming from the multiplayer. I am excited for Forge. I don't know if this is commonly perceived, but Bungie did kind of delude the Forge. Even though Forge World was bigger, it did not have the consistency that from the Halo 3 days. So in a taco, or nutshell, Halo is still at the top of my most anticipated list for the rest of the year, obviously. This demo has told me only that the new enemies were in the least different, as well as the environments. They are very lush, very clear, and very vast open backgrounds full of beauty. I guess I can describe them as home housing, but wilderness. Okay. Now, I know that this submission is very long, but I have to give props to them for doing an outstanding job on that CGI live-action trailer. Very well done. The lead-in from the live-action trailer into the demo was quite interesting. I cannot wait to see what's next for Halo. Certainly, the only way I can describe this is it is still Halo, but very much different in a varied way. The evolution is always going to be a good thing if in the right direction. Here's hoping to the success of 343 Industries. I hope they nail it. I apologize for any grammar errors. I would like to submit more often because I have many theories and thoughts that I'd like second opinions on, and that's it. You guys do a great job with the show. Keep it up, and I love listening and gaining other opinions. Tempered Switch out, and happy E3 2012. So, I don't know. This guy didn't seem very thrilled about the demo.
For shame.
I thought the demo, because people on Twitter were saying, sorry, I doubted you, 343, which, I mean, that speaks volumes, that people who were doubting the success of Halo came back and said, wow, this is amazing. And,
yeah.
I mean, I'm sure pretty much everyone's jaw dropped during that whole segment. And the transition from the live-action trailer to the in-game stuff was flawless.
Yeah, it was really, really well done.
It was well executed. The lighting stuff, you could tell how big the Infinity was to the Chief when it flew over. You could tell just like the grandeur of scale in that game.
Well, just they seem awesome to be pushing that too, about how big of a ship it was.
Yeah. 3.5 miles long. I mean, dang. That's a big ship.
Yeah.
Okay, so he has two more submissions here. His second one says, hello again. If you guys call me crazy about my earlier submission, then I'll understand. It was simply my first impression. I can only say that is due to the lack of lore knowledge of the new enemies. I cannot say enough about the demo and especially gameplay montage thing. The sound design was amazing. Going back and watching the videos again and again, I have to say, wow. Okay, so Harry's wow. He's now wowed on this part officially. Anyways, just wanted to clear that up. Sorry. New weapons look amazing, and again, after watching the more videos, Halo is definitely going to in a new direction, and that they are bringing it towards a more modern age, but it is still Halo, and that is very reassuring. Stoked as ever. Keep on fragging trucks. And just because my random mind thinks like this, think of all the possibilities of custom games with these new goodies now that we've seen some of them, like the shield thingy. And Chill, and Chill Dusty the Chief has two weapons, which, yeah, okay. So I noticed this after the fact, after I watched the video again. But I think right in the current build, they just don't show the second weapon. So, yeah, I caught that as well. But, yeah, I'm cool. I'm chill with that. So thanks for pointing that out. His last one is hello again. On a short off-topic note, I like the elites on the machinima standpoint. I liked elites, and on a machinima standpoint, I will miss them. But my problem is with their weapons stuck suck compared to the human weapons. They're either underpowered or overpowered. Just wanted to get that out there. Keep on fragging trucks. I don't think we've seen an adequate comparison between the two. I mean, we've seen what little bit in multiplayer, but until we can really get kind of the balance of firepower back in campaign of the elite weapons compared to the human weapons, I think you're missing kind of half the picture. And we don't have many Covenant weapons to use at the moment. We only have the plasma pistol, the energy sword, and the storm rifle. So I don't think we can really make an accurate assessment yet, in my opinion. What do you guys think?
We haven't seen... Well, we've seen them, but we haven't been able to... I don't think we've seen enough of them.
Right.
Just like you said, we haven't seen enough of them to make an accurate assumption on which one's more powerful.
And in most of the videos that we've watched so far, either the Covenant's using them, like on the Spartan Ops, or all the War Games one, we don't really see many Covenant weapons used. I don't remember seeing any storm rifles or... Well, okay, I take that back. We did see the carbine used in Spartan Ops, but we didn't really get a good look at it. But other than that, we haven't seen the weapons really used that much, have we? I haven't gone through all the gameplay videos that are out there either, but...
There's a lot.
Yeah. I wish I could have gone to E3. I really do. And I'll be going to PAX anyway, so... That'll be more closer to the end date, so we'll be able to probably play a more current build. while we're out there. So... Daff, you want to take the next one?
How now, Bronco?
I don't know how these guys write such long ones. Holy moly.
These are all new people, except for Duty Bound and you. All these are new ones that I haven't seen before.
Well, so I type all mine from my phone. So these would be...
And I just recognize that this Dodger dude has two of them.
Am I reading Bioman?
Yes, you are.
Okay. Bioman says, as near as I can tell, the symbol is remarkably similar to the Diadax, but it's flipped upside down. I say this because of the addition of the Halo Encyclopedia that I have, and I feel that perhaps this represents a different person, a rival, an enemy. Symbols being flipped and mistaken for other things has already been demonstrated in the Halo universe. This symbol might perhaps represent the Master Builder, perhaps someone else. Also, as has already been noted, the Promethean defensive AIs are orange. Normally, warm colors in an AI represent corruption. We have seen corruption at Forerunner AI systems multiple times. I think it is perhaps either the Master Builder or someone else, possibly 05-032, Mendicant Bias.
Mendicant Bias, All right.
Who has taken control over Requiem. We have seen events like this happen before in Primordium. That entity wanting to exact revenge may have hate for humans, the Didact, or Librarian, or all life.
You're right.
We do not know. Cortana, nearing rampant, he says, I will not allow you to leave this planet. Maybe not an exact quote, I'm going from memory. It can be assumed that this new enemy intends to leave the planet to destroy possibly humanity, or all races, maybe specific targets. Normally called Promethean defensive AI would appear to be on our side. We can assume that either we take back control somehow or something was already warring on this planet and have these apparently from the AI already. Perhaps the entity that is taking control of Requiem is simply not powerful enough to take control of all of it. A metaclass AI, Mendicant and Offensive Bias are two examples, could only control 5 Halo rings at a time. That's why we have 7 rings. The other 5 have gone missing. They have either been destroyed, which is possible, or this new enemy might possess them also. But you already have said a meta AI can only control so much, you say. Well, that's true, but every Halo had a monitor, a corrupt monitor to be on your side, like the Flood did with the Mendicant Bias, and you now control the entire thing by manipulating a thing of much less scale. But also, we don't know where the Shan Shum Prophets went to. They most certainly could hold a grudge. Humanity took away their power, they were forced into hiding. Where? We do know that Mendicant Bias, or a fragment of him at least, is still around. We was on the Dreadnought, trying to escape.
Typo.
But failed due to the Lagolo in charge of cleaning the ship. He was formally disconnected by the Prophet of Truth. We can assume that another prophet has him now. Who's him? Maybe they made it to Requiem. After all, some covenant was there already. Was there? In a state of disarray, commonly noticed an emergency evacuation, and there's at least one new Kavi weapon. We all know that the Sandshroom were essentially the designers and developers of all their tech, says Bioman 998. Thank you.
Yep, we need to read books.
Yeah.
That's why I got out of that submission.
You guys probably didn't understand anything of that.
I got some of it. I mean, I remember Minica Bias from the Halo 3 terminals.
Yeah.
That's probably not enough, though, is it?
Yeah.
I'm going to take that as a no.
I won't elaborate.
Oh, it's already 1 in the morning. Where is the time going?
Where you guys are at, it's 2 here.
I mean, I can stay up, like, all night, so.
Yeah. I was up at 7 this morning.
My gosh, I'm... Well, based off of that, see, the average human is awake 16 hours, so you should have been in bed at, like, 11.
Yeah. I had to take my mom to the airport.
Yeah.
So, do you want to read the next one, Mr. Jimmy?
Redeemed Spartan?
Right. That one, yes.
Do it now!
Hey, PodTech. So in episode 293, you guys discussed the topic of only having one weapon in the campaign. I went back and watched the video, and when you first encounter the crawlers, he switches from his BR to his AR.
Yeah, we already addressed this.
Although in the demo shown, there was no identification of the secondary weapon, which may be implemented in the final game. I also noticed in the multiplayer gameplay trailer uploaded on Halo Waypoint that there was a circle above the armor ability that filled up each time you got a kill. Then later in the video player, called in support drop, so the ordnance.
Yep, that's the ordnance.
Maybe when you fill up the circle, you call in the ordnance drop, yeah.
Yep, ordnance. We have what that confirmed.
What is your opinions on the ordnance drop, which appeared to be called in two weapons or a shield? Do you think you'll be able to customize what you can call in as a part of your specialization? Sorry for the long post, and keep up the good work. I think it might be map specific.
So, the ordnance drops are completely random from the tidbits that we've heard in the videos. You can't choose what your ordnance will be. Let's see, what else? Other questions he asked? What is your opinions? Which appeared to be able to call out. So it's two weapons and a support package.
Well, like the over shield.
Yeah. Like you have like increased shield or I think it's a support package that you get. To get one of two ordnance weapons and then a support package. I believe that's how that works.
I can't see it being completely random though. Wouldn't it be map specific? Because you wouldn't want to have your ordnance like a sniper rifle in a close
quarters. Okay, so random within. Like, you can't choose a predetermined set
and no,
say,
I can't
okay,
see.
whenever I get an ordnance drop, I get these weapons.
No, yeah.
They're random in that nature.
Yes. I agree.
So you want to read the second one?
Yep. Hey guys, since show 293 basically answered my last post, I have another topic. I read somewhere that Spartan Ops will relive some missions, so would this be missions from previous games or the extended fiction? That would be cool. Also, do you think there will be armor abilities in the campaign since Chief is a Spartan 2?
Yes, we've already seen Promethean Vision.
Yeah. This may be why Promethean Vision is called Visor Mode in the campaign, or do you think with the upgraded armor abilities will come with it?
Spartan 2. Well, physically he's a Spartan 2, but didn't Cortana upgrade his armor in Spartan 4?
The armor doesn't look the same.
Yeah.
So his armor's upgraded to Spartan 4.
I mean, he could have, like, upgraded before then, because the scene that we saw is kind of more towards the middle of the game anyways.
But hasn't Frankie been saying many times that Cortana did stuff while he was in cryo to upgrade his, like, hardware and stuff?
I thought those were rumors.
I'm pretty sure Frankie said that. You look it up.
Maybe he said on the Nanobots.
nanobots.
I thought he did. I thought I saw a interview with him saying that.
I don't remember. I mean, it's definitely possible.
Yeah.
So, okay. Gosh, we got multiple people yawning in here. Okay, let's wrap this up.
No, wait, no. Did we do all the submissions?
We have two more.
Still have two more, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I meant wrap
up the submissions. That's what I meant.
Throw a bone.
Next one's Cryptum.
Yeah. The Half-Blood K writes in, I don't know if you have read the book Halo Cryptum. No, we have not. But I was just reading it, and I believe that there is a little segment in Chapter 32 where it might be talking about the Promethean Knight. It talks about two guards of the Council Security designated by sleek and black armor. Then it says, decorated, it's the most alarming insectoid carapaces, however you say that word. Also, it says the different ones have blue, red, or green sensors. Something very interesting that makes me think that these guards are the same as the knights in the E3 demo. You should talk about it on the podcast or video if you get a chance. Well, we're talking about it now because we just read your submission.
Maybe, like...
It says the different ones have blue, red, or green sensors, but these ones have orange. If I'm interpreting that the sensors are the little lights that are on the things.
Well, maybe orange is red?
Yeah, it could be.
Do you think it's their awareness of you? Maybe it's blue if they don't know you're there, and then they see you, they go red?
Maybe. It's possible. And then Dodger125 had a second submission that I didn't put up there, but I'll reconsolidate and post for show notes. He writes in, just writing to say that the videos that you guys are posting are awesome, especially the latest one. Just one thing to point out in the War Games video, the medals are blue and yellow, etc., new medal colors. If you look at the Smart Glass video under the campaign section, the medals there look exactly like the same in Reaches. Does that mean that the blue, funky-looking medals are just placeholders, or are the medals just from a Reach campaign game? Keep on fragging trucks. The medals in the Smart Glass thing that they did is just all the Reach stuff. So the only screen on there pretty much that is Halo 4 specific from what I could tell was the top left box. And I think that was statically generated. But the rest of the stuff is just pulling from Reach stats. So, no, those are the medals that we see in game are the medals right now that we're expecting to see. And I think I kind of figured out the coloring thing because I was watching some gameplay stuff. And it looks like the color kind of depends on maybe the point value that you get for those medals. So like the blue ones are 10 points, the yellow ones are like maybe 20 points, the red ones are 15, stuff like that. So I think that's why there's different colorings of some of those medals. Or some of them are 5 points or whatever.
Fantastic.
Yep.
Are they trying to, like, throw us off? Like the demos, they're just spamming medals, so we're not sure which is which.
You know? Well, actually, on one of the multiplayer videos, or one of the Halo Council videos, or no, it wasn't Halo Council, it was MLG, they kind of went through some of the medals. And the little clock-looking one that I showed you, for the last episode that I mentioned, it's called Comeback, and that's when you get a kill after dying more than 3 times. So there's a comeback medal now. Go figure, right?
Well, it sounds like something I've heard before.
Indeed. All right. Well, that wraps up this show, guys. Thanks for listening in. Our next show will be, or one of our many next shows, we'll be talking about the campaign side of stuff. We'll talk about the demo specifically and what we saw in there. We do have an E3 general show where we'll talk about other stuff that came during E3. Stuff like Black Ops 2, Assassin's Creed 3, Gears, all that good stuff. Yeah,
Gears of War Judgment looks really good.
So we'll have, I think, both of those shows some point next week. And we'll probably have an extra E3 show of some kind to talk about anything else that hasn't really fit the shows that we've done so far. So expect two, maybe three shows next week. And don't forget, our special 7th anniversary show is in 3 weeks.
Ooh.
Yeah.
This time we'll actually have good audio quality.
Yeah, this time it's going to work a lot better.
Yep.
So, and it will be live.
Ooh.
It's going to be live. So you make sure you don't miss it. Because we're going to have a lot of the old staff back on. So all the new guys who have joined Podtacular, while I've been podcasting, I am not the original podcaster of the show.
Well, yeah, I've heard talk of all these FUMOs and stuff, and I have no idea who they are.
Yeah, well, they're going to be on. They will be on that show. So
they don't care for Halo anymore.
Well, they care for Halo. They just have moved on to real life stuff.
You never move on from Halo.
Well, we don't. But that's because we're more hardcore than they are.
Yeah.
Wink, wink.
Uh-huh.
All right. Keep on sending your submissions in, guys. We really appreciate them. And we have actually gotten quite a few for the C3, as you could tell tonight. We got some really long ones. So keep them coming. We will read them throughout the next week or so as E3 kind of winds down from all the nice goodies that we got about Halo 4. You can also call in as well. And I still don't have the new number memorized, so I have to look it up every friggin' time. So that number is, if I can find my voicemails folder. Where is it? There it is. 206-339-6937. So if you call there, leave a Halo message, Halo-related message, we will get to them. We're going to play a set on the next show, because the last show we were tired and we didn't play the four that we had lined up anyways. So on the next show, we will play some of these voicemails as well. Make sure you check out the forums. We got some nice little discussions about Halo 4 going on, as well as some other little games. We have Monday Night Matchmaking. So make sure you check that out. 8:30 Eastern, 5:30 Pacific. Check out the beta forums, which is beta.podtacular.com/forums, or you can find the link on the main forum page. And I will be making some updates to it tomorrow as well, some visual changes.
Yeah. Make sure you rejoin us for Monday Night Matchmaking this Monday on June 11th, because we'll be playing the four new invasion.
June 12th.
No.
Oh, no, June 11th. Sorry, my bad. It's oh, my gosh, it's 1:14 in the morning.
Join us.
Okay.
Join us on this Monday, June 11th for Monday Night Matchmaking at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, because we'll be playing the new invasion maps they added in the invasion playlist. Those are fun. And we'll also be playing, possibly taking a swing at the zombie ghost game type that they added to Living Dead.
Do you know that they have Halo 4 maps already forged?
What, like in Reach?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Like, I was playing on one of them the night before coming into the show.
No, and how was that?
Let's just say Haven is really hectic with 8 versus 8.
how can I find, how can the listeners find these Reach, forges?
Well, I will put the one I have on my file share, and I can look up the rest, but you should be able to just do a tag search for Halo 4.
Okay.
If not, search for my
file. What kind of stuff you'll get with that search. That's
well, I'll search through them, and I'll put the right ones on my file share, and you can download those.
Yeah.
My gamer tag, if you guys don't know, is Pod Duststorm. Spaces where appropriate.
I still have to get in on this matchmaking Mondays.
Join us this Monday, man. It's fun.
It's fun. Woohoo!
I haven't popped in Reach in a while either. I've been playing more Halo Wars than Reach.
You should pop in Reach. Reach is magnificent.
Halo Wars community is quite low.
I need achievements. That's all I know I need.
From Halo Wars?
Yes, I need achievements.
I
will play with
too.
You if you help me get achievements.
Well, I will. Yeah, I can help you out there.
All right. I think we have a mutual agreement.
I never got that achievement for ramming the 100 grunts with the Warthog on the first level. Because I was stuck I was stuck at like 99. I could never find the last one. Yeah.
The hardest ones are always at the last little section. You have to make sure you run over them and the Marines don't kill them off.
Right.
I just have a lot of the matchmaking ones.
I still have a couple of the campaign ones to
matchmaking is like impossible. Everyone just rushes with like Prophet of Regret, like or Truth or like Cleansing or whatever that is.
Oh, that's dumb. Yeah, you just gotta throw up turrets though. But there's only ever like 5,000 people on.
Yeah.
Maximum, that's all I've seen.
Right.
Alright. Well, thank you guys again for listening. Make sure you guys keep on track of our YouTube channel as well. I've been posting some videos up this week, and I'll be posting another one up actually today as of this recording on doing analysis on the campaign demo that we got. So we have a couple more E3 related videos to put up, and those will be up throughout next week, and then we'll kind of be back on somewhat regular schedule. So until next time, keep on fragging trucks. Them trucks. Or them Prometheans, whichever one you prefer.